Welcome. I'm Danny Brown. I'm the lead pastor here at Abundant Life Worship Center. And today I want to share a message with you titled, We Were Born Again to Win. I believe you're going to enjoy this message. God has something good. So let's get right to it. All right. So we want to talk today about the fact that we were born again to win. Now, maybe you've heard the statement, you know, I was born to win, or you were born to win. Well, today I'm saying we were born again to win. And if you're not sure what that term means, born again, in Scripture, Christ tells a man that he must be born again and explains that you're born once in the flesh, but he needed to be born in the Spirit. And the real him, born fresh and anew because of what Christ would do. And so that term born again is a term we'll use for someone who is a Christian, someone who believes in Christ. And I can tell you this, when you are saved, when you become a Christian, when you become born again, you're born again to win. You know, I've met people over the years, and some Christians, some not, and it's a sad thing when you meet a Christian who is discouraged and feels like life is hopeless, or even has a mindset that they're born to lose. And, you know, they almost have this idea that, well, now that I'm a Christian, life is going to be horrible, but, you know, one day I'll die and go to heaven, and then, you know, then it'll be good. Well, that is not what Scripture says. Let me give you some scripture. Let me encourage you today, because you were born again to win. I want to read you a scripture, Romans chapter 8, 31 to 39. And it says this. So what are we going to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He didn't spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. Won't he also freely give us all things with him? Who will bring a charge against God's elect people? It is God who acquits them. Who is going to convict them? It is Christ Jesus who died, even more, who was raised, and who also is at God's right side. It is Christ Jesus who also pleads our case for us. Who will separate us from Christ's love? Will we be separated by trouble or distress or harassment or famine? Or nakedness, or danger, or sword, as it is written, we're being put to death all day long for your sake. We are treated like sheep for the slaughter. But in all these things, we win a sweeping victory through the one who loved us. I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not death or life, not angels or rulers, not present things or future things, not powers or height or depth or any other thing that is created. What a great verse talking about God's love, God's blessing for those who serve him. You see, he gave us his one and only son, and it says here, he will also give us all things. It talks about the fact that there may be persecution or things we go through, but he will not leave us. His love will not depart from us. And his love is amazing. In verse 37, it says, but in all these things we win. We win a sweeping victory. In the King James Version, it says, we are more than conquerors. You know, when armies would go out to battle, and if an army won the battle, they were the conquerors, and it was a great time of victory and celebration. You know, and he said, we're more than conquerors. In other words, we win, and we have something to be excited about, because God has made us to win. Let me explain it like this. More than a conqueror would be like this, okay? Let's say you're just playing a game. Doesn't really mean too much to you, but you win. And you're like, yeah, we won. No. Being more than a conqueror would be, we win. Okay, you get the point. This is something God says is for you and I. We win. You know, the great thing, winning a sweeping victory or being more than a conqueror, is something that happens when we go through a battle. You see, if there's no battle, if there's nothing to have victory over, well, then how do you win? I want to encourage you, if you're going through something right now, you're going to win. If you're going through something extremely difficult, the victory will be that much sweeter. You will win according to the word. Think about for a minute, those of you who enjoy sports, if you watch football, there's something about a game where your team is losing. And you know, maybe you're thinking to yourself, there's no way they could win. Look at, I mean, they don't have the best players. Their star quarterback got injured. And, you know, they got a receiver they brought up from the practice squad. And nobody even knows his name. We don't even know when he was drafted. You know, and you're thinking, is it possible? But in that game, if all of a sudden your team throws a 60-yard pass and that unknown receiver gets some separation and he grabs it and it's a touchdown, the entire crowd comes alive. Why? Because we love it when somebody is going through difficulty and suddenly they begin to win. Well, Christ has done that for you and I. Our lives were hopeless without him. Our future destined for a terrible place called hell, but he has brought us the victory and we win. Let me give you a few points about how we win. You see, because we win when we understand that we are in a spiritual battle. Let me read to you Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and 13. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Also, we can read from 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You see, there is a spiritual battle, and according to Scripture, we don't fight people. There's a spiritual battle, and if we understand that, we are guaranteed to win. Daniel chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. If you read that, you will see that Daniel is in prayer for his nation. And Daniel goes to prayer, and he is shown that there is a spiritual war happening all around him, and that his prayers were part of it. You see, Daniel began to fast, and he ended up fasting for 21 days. And as he fasted, he prayed, he called out to God. After that time frame, an angel comes to him and says, I was sent immediately when you begin to pray, but there was a spiritual force that held me up. In other words, there is a battle continually going on, but our prayer plays a part. And Daniel was given revelation and word that he would speak out right now, and we can read it now, about the future. You see, we win when we understand we are in a spiritual battle. Sometimes, as Christians, we maybe feel like we're losing, or we feel like everything is out of control. What is going on? I want to let you know that it's possible at that moment you're in a spiritual battle and not realizing it. Too many times people will blame other people for all their problems. Listen, when you blame other people, or maybe you blame yourself for all your problems, you need to know it's a spiritual battle. It is not all your fault, and it's definitely not everybody else's fault, what's going on in your life. It is most likely a spiritual battle, and you need to know it and know how to deal with it. Now, I'm not going to get into that too much in this message today, but let me just say this. You need to know how to pray, how to use the authority Christ has given you. You have the right to command spiritual things to leave, to be done with your life and situation and those that you look after. So take that authority, use it. But if instead you want to blame people or blame the neighbors, or, you know, that will never change your situation, because you don't have the authority to change other people, but you have the authority in the Spirit, and you have the authority to change you, me. All right, so I want to encourage you on that. We win when we understand it is a spiritual battle that we're in. And as well, we win when we love people instead of fighting them. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. You see, Christ very clearly tells those who follow him that you are to love people, even those that hate you, even those you might consider your enemies. You see, our battle is not against people. And we win when we understand that. I remember years ago doing youth ministry, and I was sharing this with the youth group. And of course, we'd done many studies of the Bible, Old Testament, New. And one of my youth stopped when I was speaking there about this, you know, loving your enemies, you know, love those who hate you, do good to them. And he stopped. He said, you know, I like the Old Testament better. He said, I wish it was Old Testament time where you could chop people's heads off. Oh, so I realized, hey, we need to talk about this a little bit. And you see, Old Testament times, they were battling one another continually, almost as if that was the sport that they had. And it was a time before Christ came and before salvation. You see, now we live in the day of salvation. And we are called to bring people to Christ, not to, you know, chop heads, all right? So we win when we love people and we don't fight people. If you're living right now fighting people continually, you are out of God's will. I'm just telling you, you are. If you continually are in arguments and online battles with people, you're out of God's will. I'm just going to be that clear, because he said, you need to love, you need to do good, you need to pray for them, you need to bless them. Listen to Matthew chapter 26, 51 to 56. And if you go there and read the story, I'm not going to read it to you completely, but if you go there, you'll read about where Christ is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's about to be captured. He's about to be betrayed by Judas. And he asks his disciples to pray with him. And of course, you know the story. They fall asleep. He finally comes to him one time. He's okay, get up, guys. You know, the person who's going to betray me is here. And Judas comes in and gives him a kiss on the cheek. And he says, you betray the Son of Man with a kiss. And anyhow, there is the religious leaders and a whole bunch of people with weapons to come and get Jesus. And Peter rises up in the flesh, and he grabs a sword that he obviously has on his side, and he takes the sword and he chops off someone's ear. Now, this is really bad, because most likely he was trying to kill the person, but he chopped off the ear instead. And Christ told Peter, put up your sword, because they'll live by the sword, will die by the sword. And this needs to happen right now. I know. But you and I were thinking, what? Can you imagine being in his spot? This needs to happen. You're like the Messiah. Why does this need to happen? They couldn't get it. But Peter wanted to fight in the flesh. He wanted to protect Jesus. Can I say something? Jesus doesn't need protecting. He didn't call us to protect him. He didn't call us to stand up for him. He's okay with doing that on his own. He is the Son of God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know that, right? He called us to love people, to bless people, to bring people to Him, to share the good news with people. And Peter, right at that moment, was not sharing any good news with the guy whose ear he chopped off. Just, you know, you're okay with that, right? You get that. Jesus took the ear and put it back on. He healed the man. He told Peter, that's not what I want you to do. The disciples then ran off into the night, and Jesus was taken at that time. We know that it turned into an amazing thing where Christ died for the sins of anybody who would accept Him, and then He rose from the grave in a brand new body. He rose from that tomb in victory. You see, we don't fight people, we love people. And you know, I want to tell you, as a Christian, we look like fools when we try to fight in the flesh. Peter looked like someone who knew nothing about fighting, because he didn't. When Jesus had His disciples going from place to place, He didn't teach them hand-to-hand combat and how to sword fight. He taught them how to heal people, how to bring good news and the salvation message. He taught them how to see people set free from evil spirits. He taught them how to bring love to their world. When you and I choose to fight in the flesh because we've had enough, we look like fools. We were not called to do that. We were not trained to do that. We win when we love people, don't fight people. Okay, that's awesome. We win, I know. And you know, some maybe now, well, are we just supposed to take whatever people give us? You know, that's a whole nother message. But let me just briefly say, if you're called to make a difference in a certain area or in politics or maybe as a lawyer, if you're called in those areas, then you get trained in those areas and you do it while still loving people. Okay? But to just go out and get angry at people and fight them, you look like a fool. Okay? So I'm leaving that there. I want to get to my next point. And it's this. We win because of Christ. Okay? So I want you to understand this, because in the natural world, when you say we win, well, you win a soccer game or you win your football game because you're super talented and it's all about you. But this, being born again, we win because of Christ. And this is cool because that means you can't lose. You cannot lose if your trust is in Him, because you win because of what He did. Listen to this, 1 John 3, verse 8. It says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that He might destroy the works of the evil one. And John 10:10 says, the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And Luke 10:19, Jesus tells His followers, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Hey, do I need to say it again? We win. And we win because of what Christ did on the cross. He came to destroy the works of the enemy, and He did it completely on the cross. And now He gives us the same authority that He had. Authority to tread on any work of the enemy, the spiritual side, not people. And then He says, nothing by any means will hurt you. In other words, I've got you. I've got this. The next point I want to make is this. It is that we win with words. Okay? We don't win with swords. We win with words. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17. It says this. Take the sword of the Spirit, the Spirit-led word of God that's spoken through our mouths. You see, in Ephesians chapter 6, they're talking about putting on the armor of God. And Paul likens the gifts and the things that God has for us to different parts of the armor of a soldier. And the sword, he said, is the sword of the Spirit, or the word coming from God spoken through you. You see, we don't use natural weapons. We use the word that God puts in our mouth. Jeremiah 1, verse 9 to 10. This is God speaking to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah was a prophet in his day that would speak the word out to those around him, even to the king of that day. And God says, I have put my words in your mouth. And then a little bit further on, it says, I have set you over the nations, over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down, to destroy and pull down, and to build and plant. You see, Jeremiah never once picked up a sword. Jeremiah never once had an army. Jeremiah was with himself and a servant who would write things down for him. And with the word that God put in his mouth, he spoke it out, and he had the authority, listen to this, to change kingdoms. Those that shouldn't be in power were pulled down by the word spoken through him. Wow. And yes, words spoken to build and to plant and to bring new. Now that, my friend, is how we win. What is God speaking to you, and are you speaking it out? Do you know his word? Do you speak faithfully what he puts on your heart? Or are you discouraged, down, and speaking victory for the enemy? I hope not. Mark 11, 23, a verse we have read before, it says this, Jesus again talking to his followers, he says, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that the things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. We win with our words. And can I say, on the flip side, speaking to you as Christians, if you choose to speak death, if you choose to speak confusion, if you choose to speak anger, then you lose with your words. But hey, God said that we were born again to win. Choose words that prove you're a winner. And finally, I want to say this. Even in death, we win. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 to 8, in the Passion Translation says this, that's why we're always full of courage. Even while we're at home in the body, we're homesick to be with the Master. For we live by faith, not by what we see with our eyes. We live with a joyful confidence. Yet at the same time, we take delight in the thought of leaving our bodies behind to be at home with the Lord. You see, one day, for every Christian, the day will come when your flesh gets old, when you pass from this life. Now, we know there's a day coming when believers will be caught up to meet the Lord. If that happens before your time of death, that's great. But for most, you will pass through the gate of death. And when that time comes, when your body ends, when you fall asleep, as it says, your breath leaves you, your spirit immediately goes to be with the Lord. And we know from other scriptures that we will enter a real place called heaven. And at the gates of heaven, we will walk up to those gates and we will be met by the Lord, and he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in to the joy of the Lord. And we know that there will be a cloud of witnesses, a crowd of people cheering because you finished your race. You win. Oh, believer, we were born again to win. Don't you dare give up. Maybe it looks like the other team's winning, but you are about to come back for a sweeping victory because we win. You know, as I share this message, I need to ask, if you're watching today and you've never been born again, you've never asked Christ into your life to make you new, and you're thinking, I want that. I want to know that feeling of being born again. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, hey, if you use words, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. So just repeat this prayer after me right now. God wants to forgive your sin. He wants to make you new. He wants to turn you from a life that's losing to a life that's winning and heading for the greatest celebration of all time, a place called heaven. So just repeat this prayer after me now. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I ask you now, forgive me of all my sin. Make me new. I thank you now that I will win with Christ. Amen. If you prayed that today and you meant that in your heart, you can be guaranteed you are saved and forgiven, and you have just begun a brand new life. God's going to have you turn from the direction you were going to a brand new direction of following Him. And it is a life of winning. You see, we were born again to win. I want to close out today by praying for those who are believers, who are born again, and maybe feel like they haven't been winning. You see, I want you to be able to focus on the real battle, not to be fighting and attacking people. I want you to win completely. So let me pray for you right now. Lord Jesus, I pray for anyone and everyone watching right now. Lord, I speak to those that are weary, those that feel like they're losing continually. We say right now, spirit of confusion, leave. We come against that anger that's been building up. We say, anger, leave. We speak peace. We speak love, overflow your people, Lord. Love, overflow this one right now. I just feel as I'm praying, there's someone here, you are not feeling love at all for anybody. And it's actually concerning you. You're thinking, you know, I feel angry all the time. I don't even feel love to the people really close to me. I feel like I want to hit people all the time. I don't, but I feel like it. And you don't like that feeling. Right now, I'm going to pray for you. I command that spirit of anger, go. I speak life, come back into this person once again. Let love pour in. Holy Spirit, pour into them. Let love explode once again in them. Because that is what needs to flow out. I thank you, Lord, that you touch lives continually. I speak peace. I speak blessing. And Lord, I pray right now for turnaround. Turnaround. I feel there's someone you have been losing continually. You just feel it. It's one thing after another. It's the bill. You thought you had it paid up. Here comes another one. It's the work situation. You deal with one person. There's another one coming at you. It's like you actually feel like you're losing every day. And as you listen to this message, you're like, I lose every day. That is a spiritual battle. That is a curse, even, I believe, to this person I'm speaking that was sent. So right now, I rebuke that curse, and I command the spirit of losing, go! And we speak a spirit of life and winning over you right now. Lord, I thank you. You bless your people. You give us a spirit of love, and you show us how to win. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. And don't ever forget it. You were born again to win. And hey, today, if you prayed and asked Christ into your heart, or if you had a prayer need, then you just thought, you know, I want somebody to really pray about this, why don't you go to our website, www.alwc.church. Go there, connect with us. God loves you more than you can imagine. Have an awesome day. You're a winner.